Well, Father Tim, your nephew of Eddie's, what are your memories of the great man?
Well, I think my important memories of him is he had a great engine. You know, even in the, I knew him in working on the farm, like, and you know, he was great in the meadow. He always made the butter, the wines, and he set the scene for everybody else. And he loved life, the simple things of life. And the two things that stood out for me, I think, was the quotation from the book that Mike Moriarty and T.J. Flynn wrote, and that you know, football gave him everything, and you know, in ways that he gave him everything, and the other aspect of it, I suppose, it left him disappointed in ways because of the All Ireland. But I think that quote has to be balanced with Mossy Mahoney's quotation in the Grass As We Combed, where Eddie said himself that he was in hard luck, but he enjoyed every moment that he played on the football field. And I think his friendships, especially starting off with the national school teacher and the GA, is important, I think. And Vincent Dillon and his Con Brosnan gave him his first chance in My Van, and it was a close friendship there. And then Johnny Welch and Billy Longford, and the whole thing of the Shannon Rangers and the 45 Shannon Rangers team, which... They started off, they beat the Army in Ballylongford. Then they went to Dingle, and Dingle had a good team that time. They beat Dingle. Then they came and they beat North Kerry. They had three games with the Dick Fitzgeralds and two games with the Legion.
My own club.
And, you know, that he always remembered that, I think. The Rangers were important. And next to his club, I think the Rangers were very, very important to him and his friendship with people. But... In another way, I don't think he had hard luck in the team. And you know, he had a unique thing in the sense that I think that he never won an All Ireland, but he played in the polo grounds. And a lot of people have All Irelands and never played in the polo grounds. So I think that was important to him, and he enjoyed the game.
And Father fell away from the football and fell away from the maddening crowds and the fame of the polo grounds and all. He raised a big family, tough times, and he was a great family man.
He was a wonderful family man. I think, you know, he had 10 kids himself in Noreen. They had 10 kids, and immigration, the kids had to immigrate. But he worked hard. He gave great days work, you know, and he was a Republican too, I think. That's important. You know, he believed in the United Ireland, and that went back in his own family tradition as well, you know. So,
Father, to be fair to say that he's one of a dying breed of men that came up in those eras and played with Kerry, and he was a very, very warm person, very courteous, a lovely smile in his face, and his eyes would be always lighting up, and he had these big, huge hands that he'd wrap around you. They are my memories of Eddie Dowling.
He had a great wink as well, I think, and the wave of the hand was important to him, and he was a good neighbour to people. You know, he did things in the background, you know, simple things, bringing rhubarb to people, bringing potatoes to people, and that was his way of, you know, connecting with the neighbourhood aspect of it, I think.
Yeah. Listen, Father, it was a lovely talking to you, and what do we know about this graveyard here today? Have you?
Well, Gael Graveyard is, I guess it's from my generation. Our family came to Coolard. Eddie's family came to Coolard in 1873. Originally, they were from the Ballymacalligot side of it, and we came to Kerry in about 1603, and all our family are buried here, and Eddie's parents are buried here, and also his brother Dennis, who was also an accomplished footballer in his own
Black.
The Black Doolan, yeah.
And just remind us again of your association to the late Eddie.
Well, Eddie is my uncle. My father, Ticey, was his brother.
Yeah. Listen, Father, lovely talking to you. Thank you for those memories.
No, thank you, Vishen.
Father, as we're standing here prepared to bury the great Eddie Dowling, what are your fondest memories of him?
Fondest memories of him as a selector with Ballydunahoe, when he always made sure we were ready for the game and had us running around the field as hard as we could, himself and Gus as well, Gus Clemens, and Mick Finucane used to always appear as well, Gus, Mick and Eddie, the three of them. We always looked up to those three for instructions.
His club meant an awful lot to him, that's what you're saying.
His club meant an awful lot to him. And he continued as a selector and as chairman and vice chairman of the club as well. And
as a man then, away from it all, the Eddie Dowling that you knew to meet on the side of the road, and he'd get off his bike and he'd give you a wave. Who was the Eddie Dowling away from the football and away from all of that?
He was very friendly always a wave to us when we were in the meadows and so on and working. And Eddie would often be working very hard as well, as we know, saving hay and all that. That was part of his work all his life.
The one thing, Father, that's coming through, as you mentioned today, are work. He was a very hard worker, raised a big family of 10 children, worked very hard.
Worked very hard and had a great strong hands. Work seemed to be no problem to him, as he's folded up the sleeves and get on with the job. And often would come in and give us a hand now and again in the meadow as well, if he saw us.
And a couple of pints then, and a couple of pints and a woodbine, and a chat about football.
Good, a couple of pints and a woodbine, and a great chat about football always.
He was a happy man then.
A happy man then.
He was a man of the earth, really, wasn't he? A man of the sod, wasn't he?
Of the sod. But he used to always go back in memories as well about his time in New York and so on, and the time with the Kerry team and Roscommon. And he'd always say to Mick Finucane, "You were on your sub," he'd say to Mick. He used to drive Mick mad when he used to say that to him. Then, you know, Mick used to take it all in good spirits.
Yeah.
And he used to talk quite a bit about Gus as well, because Gus was very keen on training us.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget one time when I'd left the national school, and Gus asked me to play with the national school when I came back from holidays. And of course, what happened? Robbie Stack found out after beating Ballybunion. And Robbie Stark objected. Yeah. And I was suspended after it. Well, what did Gus do but play me under a different name in the next game? With the result, nobody knew what was my name in the end, because Gus would play me under a different name against another club. And then we played Listowel here, and we beat Listowel. And again, I was playing under a different name. And the one thing Gus would say to me, "Don't solo run with the ball. Kick the ball when you get it, and it won't be conspicuous then."
It was good advice.
Good advice.
Father, lovely talking to you.
Great, Wishy. Thank you very much, and delighted. Thank you, Wishy.
Well, Nuala, as we're lingering here by your dad's graveside, laying the great Eddie Dowling to rest, you're the youngest of the family, the youngest daughter, and of course, like all girls, you'd be pet of his.
I am, of course, definitely.
Talk to us about your memories of your dad.
I have great memories of dad. We were great friends, more so than a daughter and a father, really. We were buddies, and we soldiered along very well together, sometimes enough that it kind of annoyed Mom a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't know which one of the two of us to kill first.
Yeah.
But she got used to us and let us carry on with it. And
when you say you soldier together, and what does that mean?
We'd be going to matches and things, and there'd be a bit of a pub involved here and there.
Yeah.
We went to Ballybunion one Friday night, and we don't live too far away from Ballybunion, but we didn't make it home until the following Monday.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He loved meeting people, didn't he? He
did,
was a very gregarious man, very courteous, and he loved meeting people.
He was a people person, very much a people person, he really was.
Yeah.
And you'd always have a good laugh with him, and never a dull moment when you were out with him. And there was always somebody coming up to talk to him at all times.
Did he ever get cross?
He'd get cross all right, but he would a bit. He gave me a kick once, but he was awful sorry for it. He apologised.
And what was it like then, being introduced, even if he wasn't with you, and we'd say, one of the lads said, "This is Eddie Dowling's daughter." The name synonymous?
It was an absolute privilege. It was like your head would start swelling.
Yeah.
With pride.
Yeah.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. And people would just make such a big deal out of you when they heard who you were, that you were Eddie Dowling's daughter.
Yeah.
Words couldn't describe it.
Had he any football regrets? Had he regretted he didn't get his medal that time?
No, no. He said, I survived this long without it, I'll carry on the rest of my life. He'd no regrets, none whatsoever. Yeah. Enjoyed every minute of what he'd done, and he lived for football.
He did, yeah. And of course your mum's death was a big blow to him then, but he recovered from that, and he showed the strength of the men.
That's right, very strong man, very strong. Yeah. And he always just wanted to carry on and make the most of life. Yeah. And that was always his advice.
Yeah.
And at the end of every day when he was walking up the stairs, he'd say, the end of another perfect day, thanks be to God. And it wouldn't matter what went wrong that day.
Yeah. That's lovely saying. Yeah. Like he said to me a few times I met him, I couldn't make hog nor dog of it. That was another of his saying. Do the family get together a lot now? You're scattered, there's 10 of you?
Scattered, yeah. Well, we were coming home for a wedding on Saturday anyway. That was going to be our first really get together, I guess, since Mom's passing. And we were really looking forward to that because of a joyous occasion. But
could I say on behalf of Kerry football followers everywhere, not alone in Kerry but all over the world, and we want to thank your dad for all that he did, and thank for him for playing for Kerry and for the memories that he left us and for being such a special person. So on behalf of everybody, I'd like to say that, sure.
Thank you very much. And Dad wants to thank all of you for being there for him and for this wonderful send-off. You couldn't ask for anything better. Thank you so much.
Well, Eileen, you're the eldest girl in the family, and as we're lingering here at your dad's graveside talking and remembering and things like that, you must have a load of memories about a special person.
Oh, yes, my dad was very special. I would say he was a very gentle man, really, even though when you'd see him out and about waving his arms and shouting at the cows, there was a different side. But my dad never lifted a finger to me. He was always very protective of all of us. And even though he liked to drink a lot, he always had the potatoes in the garden and the cabbages and the lettuce and everything we wanted to eat. We never went hungry. We mightn't have had a penny, but we always had something to eat and drink. Drink as well. When we got older, mind you, the alcohol was a bit too much, but that was all right.
Yeah. And of course, from the football point of view, then any time you'd be introduced as Eddie Dowling's daughter, the whole world opened up for you.
Oh well, it did. But I'm not that good with the football. As I'm getting older and getting to know it more, because I used to get a bit cross when I'd hear him talk about football all of the time. Shouldn't have done. I know now.
Yeah.
But yes, people amazed me when I would say I was Eddie Dowling's daughter. And I'd have to start telling them the little knowledge I had about football.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, though, but they told me more than I could tell them.
How did the football go down with your mum then, when your mum would be out with him and to be all football? Was she a football woman?
I think she grew to like it, or she had to maybe. I think she
like
did.
Like my own wife, yeah.
I think she did eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he used to annoy her sometimes because he ate and drank football, didn't he, really?
Dad was always
flying around with a ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And when the grandchildren came along, he nearly got them to kick a ball before they could walk.
Well, listen, Eileen, it was lovely talking to you.
Thank you very
much. Lovely memories as we're leaving your dad's graveside here today. And now, listen
and
to me,
it's just
about to rain. The rain held off for all. And it's nice to see all the family together anyway. Listen to me, thanks for talking.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Now, who have I here?
Catherine Daly.
Catherine, where are you now living?
I'm living in Kilcorn, Headford.
Headford.
Yes.
Now, it was a long time ago, of course, 50 years ago. Have you any memories of the day and the rest of the ladies?
Have I any memories of the day? I think I remember, yes. And I suppose we won that race, did we? Yes.
And Paul Sullivan Latimer was your cox?
Yeah, he was our cox, yes. Yeah. And we used to be out two and three nights a week out of the Lake Hotel. There we used to train. We'd cycle down from St. Finian's after work, and it was great to get out in the fresh air after our day's work, very relaxing, out in the water.
Yeah, of course, St. Finian's at that particular time, you have to sleep in there?
We used to have to sleep in there, and we used to have to be back up again by 11 o'clock if we finished for our rowing.
How long were you working in Finian's?
I was there 12 years.
12 years,
yes.
Happy memories.
And very happy memories of the rowing.
Yeah.
It was great exercise after our day's work to get out there.
Yeah,
we'd all cycle down together. And
and what does it mean now to you to come together and meet all the ladies?
Oh, sure, it is great. It is great. There's a few here I'd meet over 40 years.
Yeah,
and
that lovely,
yes,
yeah.
It is lovely. It is a lovely... And that we're all well.
Yeah, lovely. Yes, and who have I here?
I'm Marie Brasner.
Marie, where are you now, Marie?
I'm living in Guineguilla.
Yeah. Marie, what are your memories of have you any memories of that day 50 years ago and getting ready for the race?
I have, nervous.
Yeah.
And we did our best, and we won on the day.
Was there any
celebration? A lot of training beforehand, like, all right, by Paul Sullivan. Yeah.
Was there any celebrations after?
I can't remember celebrations. You know, I used to celebrate too much in Killarney anyway. You know, I used to go on out.
What about your memories of St. Finan's then? When did you go in there? How long were you there?
I was there for 3 years. Yeah. And got married in 63. We had to leave then when we got married. So.
Yeah. And of course, as you said, people might realise now, but when you got married, yeah, you had to leave then, hadn't you?
Yeah, that was it. That was it then. Like you had to retire.
Yeah,
from
Who was the RMS there in your time?
Dr. Jack O'Connor. Dr. William, Dr. O'Sullivan, but his first, I forget. But,
Dr.
Eamon O'Sullivan, he was there in the beginning, and then Jack O'Connor came. That was it, I suppose.
Lovely. Peggy Landers, Peggy, nice to meet you.
You
again.
Too, Isha.
Now, 50 years ago, Peggy, of course you wouldn't have that many memories of it, but that year around that time, 50 years ago, and working in St. Finan's and all of that, what are your memories of that time?
It's a long, long time ago, nearly two long-term memories, but we loved the rowing.
Yeah.
As Catherine said, going down after work and the bicycle.
Yeah.
And I think we enjoyed the training. I have very little memories of the day itself, of the regatta, but I can't...
And of course, Paul Latimer and Paul Sullivan was your trainer.
The trainer, Paul was. He was great, very good to us. He was out most evenings.
How long were you in St. Finan's, Peggy, and what year did you go in there?
I went in 16. I was there 8 years. I got married in 68.
Of course, it was a big hospital, and there was over 1,000 patients there. It was like a town in itself, wasn't it?
There was 1,100, I think, 110 when we went in there.
And, of course, you're just living down the road from St. Finan's. Now you're married to John Landers, and you'll be keeping a good eye on the place. But it is great to meet the rest of the ladies tonight now, Peggy. That's very important.
It's lovely to meet them. So delighted that everybody's here. I didn't expect everybody to be here, coming such long journeys, especially Noreen O'Leary. Thought you would never make it here tonight.
Lovely stuff, well done. Well, we'll talk to this lady here now. Who have we?
Noreen O'Leary.
Yeah, and you're one of the Dolans of Kilcommon.
That's right, yes.
Would you be sister Billy Dolans and the boys?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, lovely, sir. Yeah. A great sporting family.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Well, Noreen, what year did you go into St. Finan's?
I suppose about 61, I think. I don't know.
Just a year before myself.
Really?
Just a year before I was in 62,
I left in 65 then.
I was sent to Peggy there. That was a different era, wasn't it? I mean,
there was
over 1,000 patients there at the time.
That's
and there was a lot of staff there. I suppose to get out in the evenings rowing was a big thing, was it?
Oh, it was brilliant, really. You know, we had a great time, really. Were young, we didn't care in the world.
What memories have you of going out in the lake?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it, really. You know, it was great to get out every evening and be together and have some fun. Not a whole lot of memories of it, really, but...
Yeah, and Paul Sullivan, of course, Lartimus, and him
yeah, Paul was very nice, really, yes. It was great to see his wife here.
And what does it mean to you, then, to meet the rest of the ladies here tonight?
Brilliant. The only one I have met is Catherine Mylin. The others I wouldn't have met for 47 years. So it's lovely to meet everybody.
It is indeed, lovely stuff. Yeah. And who have I here?
Mary Janine.
Mary, where are you living now, Mary?
Bishopstown and Cork.
Bishopstown and Cork. What did it mean to you to come down? Had you any hesitation in returning?
None whatsoever. No, delighted. Yeah. I'm very humbled, actually, that this is going on tonight.
It is lovely to meet old friends, isn't it? Yeah. And what year did you go into St. Finan's?
58. And I left in 63.
What are your memories of St. Finan's itself?
I suppose great camaraderie. We had the care in the world. You know, we just did our day's work and went off. We didn't think of it again until the next day again. But we had a lovely time there.
It was a kind of a special place. It was a town in itself, wasn't it? It gave great employment, and there was over 1,000 patients there. There was a special atmosphere.
There was. Extremely special. And I mean, everybody knew one another.
Yeah.
And that would be the job that was easier, and lovely.
Have you any memories of the day of the regatta, that year that she won?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, but I remember the go-out training nights below from the Lake Hotel.
Yeah.
No life jackets. None of us could swim. But God, we have a ball out there. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul would keep us on our toes. Yeah.
And you were kept nice and fit?
Oh, yes, we had to. Yeah. We were not supposed to be eating chips or anything.
Yeah.
Only raw eggs, but I'm afraid.
Yeah. And signs by, you're all still fine and fit looking. It was lovely talking to you.
The same here now.
Talking to you. And who have I here?
Mary Breen. Mary? I was Mary Galvin that time.
Where are you living now, Mary?
In Beaufort.
Of course, Breens is a great name in Beaufort. There's loads of Breens.
My husband passed away 14 years ago, Michael.
Well, it is nice to remember him, and it is nice to talk about him, not to miss him.
We would have been married 45 years today.
Congratulations. It's a happy sad day for you, happy meeting the rest of the ladies.
Well, it is,
and then your wedding anniversary.
Got me out like of the house now tonight, kind of, you know.
Yeah, so that means a lot to you, doesn't it? It does. Oh, lovely, this would be a lot to miss in his soul. Nice to remember him.
Yeah.
It's a coincidence now that we're talking about him on your anniversary.
A coincidence, yes, isn't it?
People like to be remembered. We'll think about him. We'll say a little prayer. Your memories, when did you go into St. Finian's?
I went in 1962, and I left in 67.
You went in? I went in March 62 myself.
It was around the same time.
Yeah. And what memories have you of the rowing and going out in the evenings?
It was great. It was my first year there and my first year going out rowing.
Yeah.
And you know, I enjoyed it.
Yes,
I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was lovely.
And what was it like meeting all the ladies tonight after those 50 years?
Yeah, if I met some of them, I wouldn't know them. If I met them today in town, I wouldn't have known. Yeah. Well, I'd have known Catherine because I had met her before, and Marie. But,
how important is it now to meet them?
It is lovely. It is lovely now, I must say.
Yeah.
It is.
And send your memories of St. Finian's then with over 1,000 patients there?
Yes, and I went back again to St. Finian's. I went back in 2001 or 2002, and I spent 5 or 6, very delighted to go back because I made new friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great experience to go back there again, kind of.
Well, come here. It was a lovely way to spend your anniversary, wasn't it? You know, as you see, it got you out.
Yes,
yeah. Come here, thanks for talking to me.
All right, wish you
okay. Thanks very much. Now, so, Paul Sullivan's wife.
That's right.
Lovely. Listen, lovely to meet you.
And nice
Paul has been Paul has been remembered well here tonight, and he was a great friend of mine, and he was a great sportsman, and he trained these ladies. Only for Paul's training, he wouldn't be all together here.
That's right.
He loved the rowing, didn't he? Talk to me about him.
You knew him better as well as I did.
I did indeed, with the basketball and the football and the refereeing, and he did enough.
Yes.
He was involved. How long has Paul did now?
Oh. Long time.
Yes, yeah.
I'm bad in the...
Long time. He loved the rowing, of course, and all the ladies here tonight, now they're paying great tribute to him.
They have indeed.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
They're a lovely bunch of ladies.
Yes, they are indeed, yeah. Come here, it was lovely talking to you now. It was lovely
talking, and
it was nice to remember Paul, and only for him now, Lord to mention him, all these ladies wouldn't be here tonight.
That is true.
Enjoy the rest of the night, and thanks
for
talking to me.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Willie Emin, as we stand at your dad's gravesite here today, after laying a great man to rest, of course you have loads of memories about a special person.
Yeah, my father, he was a great man. He played for Ballydunahoe, Shannon Rangers, and went on to play for Kerry. But he was unlucky in the polo grounds in 1947 that he got knocked out and Kerry lost the game.
But away from the football altogether, he reared a big family, your mum died, and he was a hard worker. What kind of a dad was he?
Well, he was a good dad, but he made us work. And when he said, get up in the morning, you got up. and go to bed, you went to bed.
Yeah.
But, he was a fair man.
Football was his life. He loved the football, loved the pint, and loved talking about football.
Oh, yeah. He was a farmer, but he'd talk about football before he'd talk about farming.
You were in London yourself?
I'm in London. I'm gone out of Kerry with 40 years.
For a while in London.
Now I'm talking to
Dino
here, and the man that I often saw playing. Dino, the memories of your dad as we stand by his graveside?
He was more than a dad. He was a special man. He was a special friend. And we travelled all over the place together. We went to matches, constantly going to matches together. And we always had to stop for a few pints after. And we had a great time. We had a great life with him.
He loved meeting people, loved talking about football. And did he ever get cross? Was he ever in bed for him?
No, not really. But when he'd be explaining something like you'd want to stand back because it could get a belt of an elbow or anything. There'd be hands flying and elbows going, and you want to keep out of the way because it could get a wallop. That's the way he used to explain things like.
And I was saying to your brother there, of course, Eddie Dowling is known as the footballer, but he, the family, he was here, your dad, and he raised you and he looked after you and he had you working, and you saw him working hard.
Oh, he never asked us to do anything he wouldn't have to do himself. He led the line all right, and he was a massive worker, a mighty worker. Wherever we came, bog, mid, or a quarry or anywhere, he was mad for him from morning till evening.
He did regret a lot then about not getting that medal. When he was captain in the semi-final, it was an awful thing, really, after their winning. That was a big regret in his life, and it is understandable.
It was, in a way, like, but from being close to him, and I was going around talking to him. We were walking up the street in Ballybun one night, and he said to me, do you know something? It was a great job they didn't give me that medal, because they can't stop talking about it. If they give it to me, there'll be nothing about it.
And like Morris Mahan, he said that the oration at the graveside there today, the men that played in the polo grounds were beaten in the final, but they're more well known than the men who won All-Ireland medals.
Yeah, sure, that's it. Sure, they're household names, and they'll never, ever be forgotten. Never be forgotten.
What was it like to have a dad, to have Eddie Dowling as your dad, and to you being introduced as Eddie Dowling's son? I'd say everywhere you go, his name is synonymous, really, with Kerry football. I grown up in the side of New Street in Killarney in the 40s and the 50s. The name Eddie Dowling, beating my own club, Killarney Legion, in the county championship, it was synonymous. He was a legend.
He was that, but wherever I go, every day of the week, the first thing we meet person, how's our father? And that's going to change now. That's one thing I'll miss, all right? Yeah. But I won't have to answer that question anymore now, but I've been answering it all my life. How's my father?
And what about the wave? He had a lovely wave.
He had the wave, and the tone would go up as well. Is a mighty man.
Dean, thanks for talking to me. Who have I here?
Eddie Dowling.
Eddie Dowling, you're his grandson. Yeah. Well, Eddie, great name to be carrying around.
Yeah, it is a fantastic.
What's your memories name of your granddad?
Fantastic man, and obviously an amazing role model for all his grandchildren to look up to and try and aspire to be half the man that he was, and we'd be doing well.
Yeah. I know by your accent, you're born in London. You're an Englishman. When you come home then and you're introduced as Eddie Dowling's grandson, introduced to people around, and of course football comes up straight away, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does, yeah. I mean, his name is synonymous with Kerry football, as rightly so. Like you said before, he's a legend in the game, and we're all very proud to be just associated with him as grandchildren, and it's fantastic. I'm very proud to have the same name as the man.
But away from the football and everything, like I was saying to the lads, Eddie Dowling was a nice man. He was a special person. He was a gentle person. And you'd come away after meeting him feeling better over it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone knows him for his football, like you said. But the memories I have of him as being younger is going down for the cattle in the morning and bringing him up, milking him, and he'd be roaring at me and roaring at the dog going down. I don't know which one he wanted to go after him quicker, but we both ran anyway as quick as the other one. We weren't, but none of us were going to get the wallop off him. Yeah. He was a fantastic grandfather. And but like the lad said before, the same as a father, he wanted you to do anything. You know, if he wanted you to do anything, he wouldn't want you to do anything. He wouldn't do himself. You know, he'd work away with you and you'd work away with him around the farm. And that's kind of why I remember him, Baron Rillen. The rest of the grandkids, just that we'd be around the farm with cattle and a good day's work, and then into the evening, if you've got the thumbs up, you'd be happy.
Yeah. Well, Eddie Dowling, as we say goodbye to Eddie Dowling today, it was lovely talking to Eddie Dowling. And listen to me, you have a big name in those shoulders. We'll be keeping a close eye on you. Who have I here?
Jackie.
Now, Jack, talk to us about your dad, and talk to us about your dad away from the football, and the Eddie Dowling that all of us wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, Eddie knows. Eddie was the kind of a man like that, got up in the morning and faced a good hard day's work, like. And he'd be satisfied in the evening then when he'd be finished his good day's hard work. Yeah.
He was a terrible hard worker, wasn't he? You'd know it by his hands and his face and his body. He was a man of the earth.
Yeah, he was determined to get the job done, like. More fellas would be hanging around and looking at it and sizing it up, say so whatever we were going to do it, and Eddie get on with it and do it, like.
Yeah.
And that was his style.
Yeah.
And he brought that onto the football field with him, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was determined.
Yeah. And he loved his pint and loved his chat.
Well, that was all a part of his life.
Yeah.
He loved to go for the pint, like.
Yeah.
as he said himself.
Yeah.
Myself and Paddy Barn, we lived on it.
Yeah.
He told me one time that when he met Paddy Barn first, Paddy Barn said, "Gotti," he said, you're like myself, you drink pints and smoke woodbines.
Woodbines, yeah.
And they became great friends. He has often told that story.
Yeah.
And another great saying I saw of him, God wish, he said, "I couldn't make hog nor dog of it."
Yeah, that's it, yeah. That was some things were going against him, like.
Was it? Well, did he ever get cross to you? Why would he get cross?
Because we might be on liaising around a bit, like. Yeah. We might be getting up out of the bed in time.
Yeah.
And he's a roar.
Of course, he might be only just gone to bed, of course.
We might be only after going. Yeah, that happened several times as well. Yeah.
He was a lovely man. Yeah, so we stand here at his gravesite today and now they're lovely memories. You're going to miss him a lot.
We'll miss him, the poor man, yeah. Which were great memories with him.
But you're a close family, you'll stick together.
We are. We'll have to stick together, like. Lovely. That's what he always said himself.
Yeah. Did he?
We have to stick together, lads. Yeah.
What about your mum? He missed her an awful lot, of course, naturally enough, but he got over it.
He did, 13 years ago. Now, she died last January, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a kind of half thrown in the towel that time at the start.
Yeah.
And we were here after burying mum, and we were discussing, and he was saying, this is before I'd be going out. He says, over here in this corner.
Yeah.
And he was sizing it up. I can't go down there. There's a casket down there. I came from America. His auntie Dolly.
Yeah.
He said, "I can't go in there because that can't be opened anymore. So I'm going over here to this corner of it."
Yeah.
And that day we were sizing it up, see how far down could we go and all this cracking.
Where are his parents buried in?
His parents were buried behind me here in the same graveyard, but just back here in another plot here behind us.
Listen, well done. He was a very special person. Who have I here?
Dan.
Your memories, Dan, of your dad growing up when you were a young boy. Take us away from the football.
Good memories. Myself and himself, we used to argue in the morning and all day long about how to do things because we were very similar.
Yeah.
And he wrote that one, "I'll do this way." "No, we'll do this way."
Yeah.
"No, we won't. I'll do this way."
Yeah.
And right, anyway, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'd go off to the pub and we'd have a few pints in the night time and we'd be sorting it out again. And we'd come up again, and of course the porter being then like in the table, you get a belt of the fish, and then I said, "That's it."
And there were big fists,
big hands. I'd move now. I'm Scottish. I'll tell it now. I'd be back later on, and I'd go out, and then when I'd come back, he'd be talking about something else. He'd never forgotten, like.
Yeah.
But I tell you, when you see that hand coming up,
yeah,
he never hit me now, like. Yeah. Never touched me in his life.
No.
And I don't know if he touched any of the rest of the lads or not, but he never touched me anyway. Even though we argued all the time, myself and himself, we could never see eye to eye, like.
Yeah. He was a man that probably liked an argument.
He did, of course, because the other crew were doing it right, doing whatever he said. He said, "Jump." "How high, Eddie?" "But I wouldn't jump at all." Yeah. And he tried to tell me to play football. I wouldn't do that either. I never played football.
He loved going to the knock.
He said, that whole football, he said, "That never put a loaf of bread in my table," he said. I said, "Right, so I said, I won't bother with that." He said, "I'll sign final loaf of bread some other fair."
He loved going to the Narkerry Championship games. I'd meet him regularly at the games. He'd be standing inside the gate. He'd have the cap perched to the side of the head. He'd be smoking the fag and loved the chat. He loved going to the games.
He did. Oh, he was mad all the time. Yeah, going. And he'd be thinking, how's he going to go? He could start off walk. He could start off on a bicycle. And the next thing, the first car, he'd see up, go the big hand.
Yeah.
And stop. The car would stop, the bike up against the ditch, and into the car and off.
Yeah.
And the next thing, then you could come back the road there. He left the old bike behind there last night. Could go back the road, the bike would be gone. Soon they have the cabinet. It's wonderful.
Later life, then, of course, I'd meet him. One of the last times I met him, unfortunately, he was in a wheelchair. Old age catches up to all of us. Yeah. How did he take that then? Did he accept getting old? And did he accept that the health was beginning to fade?
Oh, he did. I came home from London there many times. I used to see him in over the house first, and then he was outside in the home in Douala. There were great people actually looked after him well. They gave him a few extra years, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm only in bother time, he used to say. Yeah. I never call him dead, like. I say, "How are you doing, Eddie?" "Oh, I know you," he said. "In. You were one of our own." Yeah. I said, "How are you? I'm in bother time."
Yeah.
But he said, "Alright," he said, "Age," he said, "we can't. We can't beat it.
So
we have to go one day," he said.
So come here now, as we're standing at his gravesite today, what has it been like to be the son of Eddie Dowling, who in my opinion, as a young man growing up in Killarney in the 40s and the 50s, was a kind of a historic, legendary Kerry man, to me anyway. His name is synonymous with Kerry football.
Absolutely, and to have a father like that, Eddie Dowling, is absolutely amazing.
The name rings off the tongue, doesn't
it? Straight away, look. Yeah. Even as I'm saying it, there's a kick in it and not a click in it.
There is,
because
there
not is. That is, Eddie Dowling will never again be forgotten. Yeah. Mike Mossimani said he might be buried there, but the name will live on forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once we mention Eddie Dowling, can you feel it like there's, you're looking up to see if there's a ball coming or something on the floor or somewhere, or a solid turf or a pike of hay or something.
You are,
oh, yes, we can feel it. You know, when I was talking, even now, I can feel, and even today when I was above on the altar rails, when I mentioned, I never, like I said, I was Eddie, and Eddie Dowling, and that was a, and then I went on because I didn't make up or have anything written down this morning, it came off, but Eddie was saying, go on, Eddie, keep going. Right, Eddie, come on, we could hear him, go on, keep going, we have a right, no, keep on going.
Yeah,
mighty man. And the same with the, we used to drive turf over the road there, look, cutting turf and taking it out, and we had to get the turf out a certain day.
Yeah.
If we hadn't done that day, it'd be the end of the world.
Love the bog, I'd imagine.
Oh, mad for the bog.
Yeah.
Mad for the bog, and he taught me how to cut turf, and he'll hold it, go back, he said, keep it back straight. And keep the slow and go down straight down now, he said, and keep that, and look,
that lovely.
Come out this way a bit, because he said that whole bank will fall into the hole and we'll have to dig out of it next year.
And would he break in to talk about football when you'd be cutting turf?
He would.
Would he?
Oh, he would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'd be talking about this fella and that fella. And then he'd say, he was all right, no, that fella. He was a fairly good footballer for right? Yeah. I remember that fella playing. He was all right, he was good. That fella was a great footballer, he'd said in. Another fella you'd mention, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Paddy Bourne anyway, himself and Eddie Welch outside Nocton Goshen, they were great friends, like.
Yeah.
And Eddie, anyway, I got an old car. We used to have an old tractor one time, an old Hassan car and bike, and we got a car in.
Yeah.
A 2-door brown Escort car. It was like a Rolls Royce. Eddie was delighted, like. And he was sitting into the front seat, and I was driving. I had to pass the old Tish, like. And I wouldn't go driving at all. And he'd back her up and pull her out and go left and go right and go this way. We go back to see the barn, he says to me. Right, says I. So we went back to Dingle, anyway.
That was a long day.
That was a long day. Well, I'll tell you now, we milked the cows all right before we went.
Yeah.
And we left the house about 7 o'clock and we came back the following morning to milk the cows again. But anyway, we were behind inside the pub and there was no. Is the barn here? No, he's out. So then you have to come all the way back. No, he said, here to see the barn, he's drawn at all. Dart was behind the counter, I forget her name now, but she said he'll be in later on. So he arrived anyway, a big pair of gaiters on him after fishing, you see. And he says to me, after a while, we're drinking pints, like. And he says to me, your old car is coming in the way outside there, he said. I went to move it. Right, says I. And I gave him the keys of the car anyway. So he went out to move the car and shredded and take them on. So anyway, we went away home anyway. So I'm an idiot in the morning, full of port, and all, like. No bother at all, but we got home anyway and milked the cows. And the next thing was, another 2 days, the next thing was, Eddie said in the car, Eddie says to me, the old barn is still around. Fire, says he. There's an awful smell of fish, he said. Okay. We opened the boot of the car and it was full of fish. And he never told us.
They were gone rotten.
They were gone. That's what I was starting to spell, sure. That's as true, wish, I swear to God, that's as true now as it is dead there now.
You mentioned Mick Finucane there. He's right there alongside you. Mick, you're saying farewell to a great friend today, a great teammate, and there's only two of you left now, as the fella said, Frank O'Keefe and yourself. You're a fit out in great shape from the Polo Grounds. What are your memories now today, and what's it like to be standing at the graveside of your teammate from the Polo Grounds?
What I can say about Eddie, he was the greatest of the great, like to say. Eddie, and I know that anyone didn't wear a glove playing when you had a wet ball or anything, but Eddie could catch that wet ball no matter how wet it'd be. And the old ball would be heavy as well, and the old lace, if it hit her fingers, would put a scar on them as well. But Eddie had no bother in fielding a ball. I think he was the best footballer I ever saw, and I stand over that. And I'm sorry that we're standing here today.
And of course, the day in the Polo Grounds, Mick, in 47, they were carried about 10 pints up, and Eddie went for a ball, came down on top of his head, got concussion, the whole game changed after that. Can we see, are we right to see, standing at Eddie's graveside, that when he went off, Kerry lost the game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He landed in the pitcher's mound with his head hit them. That was an old mound where the pitcher, you would stand, throwing the ball, and there was a fellow that had hit it with a bat, you know. And it was, that's where Eddie fell.
Yeah.
And, oh God, it was an awful loss to Kerry.
Yeah.
But he recovered well from it, like, before he was all right, before a few days, like, after that.
Yeah.
But, Jesus, he got a bad fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was he off the field then, friendly, when you when you'd meet off the field? How did you get on?
Well, we didn't socialise that much because we had different interests, like to say. Yeah.
Eddie, you played the golf, but he didn't play the golf.
Well, no, but it was better than...
He wasn't... I say he preferred to be with the Slán than the golf club. Would you?
But another thing was, to say, if we went to the pub, like to say, I'd be more interested in the barmaid than I'd be in the drink.
Exactly.
If the barmaid wasn't good looking, I wouldn't stay too long.
So you socialise differently, of course. But getting back to him, what I know of Eddie Dowling, he was a very... very gracious man.
Oh, he was.
He had a lovely twinkle in his eye.
Oh, yeah.
He loved meeting people.
Yeah.
And he was very warm.
The first place I met him was below, in front of Sullivan's pub. We were playing a match across the road in Crimmins's Field. And we were sitting up in the ditch there in Crimmins's Field across the road from the pub. And we didn't know each other, like, and I found out who he was. But when we started playing anyway, I found out who he was. Because he was a mighty man altogether. Yeah, yeah. And he was only got soon, like, to say. Yeah, yeah. He there's could be a year younger than me, I'd say.
There's only yourself now and Frank O'Keefe left from the Polo Grounds, Mick.
And I went up to Cavan there, and I was in the burying of the last, what was his name? Mick Higgins. Was it?
Yeah.
And the last of them are gone as well.
Well, come here, before I leave you and go to Mike. Whatever about the bog, what's your handicap in golf now?
23, I'm afraid.
23?
Yeah.
23. Listen,
I'm
Mick.
I'm hoping to get up to 24 Mick, or 5.
It's always lovely to meet you. It's always lovely. You, a fella Galway, after meeting you. It's sad to be meeting you here at the grave of Eddie Dowling. But while it's sad, it's great to meet you here too. It's great to meet you. And it's great to see another young man carrying the name of Eddie Dowling here, his grandson, to carry it off into the world. It's great because he was a special person. And he was a legend in Kerry, and he was synonymous. The name Eddie Dowling was synonymous with Kerry football back to the 30s, 40s, wasn't it?
He was one of the few that was a legend in his own time.
There was
a song about that long ago.
Mike, you gave Eddie a great send off here today. Talk to us about the funeral and talk to us about the people who came and who arrived.
Yeah, it was, I suppose, well deserving. As I said, I lived next door to Eddie all my life. And, you know, while I didn't play any football, it was what I heard all of my life was football. As his sons have said there, Eddie was, you know, everywhere you'd meet him, it was football. But I think, you know, when I heard of his death, and I rang you last Sunday morning when I heard of his death, and, you know, the whole of the parish and, of course, of Kerry in Ireland that would know Eddie were saddened. And I set out about, you know, giving him a good send-off. And, you know, I took it upon myself, I suppose, maybe, but I suppose one man has to lead the charge anyway, and I did that. And I'm proud that I did that. Because, as I said, like, you know, my father and my mother and all of them, we all knew Eddie all our lives. Like,
and they came from far and wide to his funeral?
They did. I was in Ballylongford last night, and I met Paddy and Dara, and we had a few words, and unfortunately they couldn't hang around. They had to rush away, you know. But as I said, I'm proud of what we have done here over the last couple of days, you know, and no better man. And I'm involved, secretary of the North Kerry Football Board. Eddie has been our president for a long number of years, and proud, you know, to have sat alongside him and had photographs with him, you know, as a neighbour. But I'll tell you one little story, Wishy, that when I was involved with my club, Ballydunahoe, I came up for secretary, and Eddie was down at the back of the hall. And there was no malice in this, but it was the way the man felt about football. And I was proposed for secretary of the Ballydunahoe club. And Eddie stood up at the back and he said, I think any man going for a position should have played football.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of a debate in there, but I got the secretary's job in there after a bit of a debate. And I suppose maybe it was a year or maybe 2 years later he met me, and by God, he said, I must apologise, he said, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because I hear he said you're doing a great job for the club. Yeah. But like, that was Eddie's theory was, you know, football.
But
all
Mike,
of his
the
life.
Fact that he came back to you and said, I must apologise, that was Eddie Dowling.
Yeah, that was him.
That was the man away from the football and away from the club and everything. He had a lovely, warm personality, and he was a very generous person.
He was, Wishy, he was. Like, and as I said, like, grew up in hard times and a hard man. you know, like all our parents were. We all had to do our chores.
Yeah.
You know, I was working since I was 12 or 13, and if I went over to this man, he was my best pal when we were growing up. And, you know, when I'd go over to Doolan's house, I'd go over to Doolan's. I'd never call him Eddie, I'd call him Doolan, and I'd call his son there Doolan as well, you know. But when I'd go over to the house, like, sort of, and we were hanging around, we'd always get jobs,
yeah.
You know. We'd be made do something, you know, and he never left you idle, and the lads were right in what they said, like, sort of, you know, work was their God, really. And
it's very evident, talking to the lads and all, that he was a great father, and he was also a great husband. Unfortunately, he lost his wife 13 years ago.
Yes.
But to raise 10, a big family of 10, off the land, if you like,
correct,
that'll tell you the man he was, and to live to be the age she was. I think more than the football and anything else, he has to be remembered for that.
Correct, yeah. And as we all know, like, back in those times, 50, 60 years ago, like, there wasn't a whole lot here in Ireland. I suppose it's something similar today, but, like, those people had nothing. And I know our parents, like, sort of, you go into their house or go into our house, and, you know, our mothers, they could make a meal out of nothing, really.
Yeah.
But we were never hungry.
Yeah.
The same as the Dowlings. Ten of them there, like, sort of. Yeah. And, you know, it was a neat together, like, sort of. And in the road that we come from, like, sort of, it's a great little bit of a road, like, they call it Gunsborough. And the families that live there, like, sort of, they were as close as anywhere in the world. And that's how we got on with you, you know.
And of course, your club produced some great footballers.
It did, of course, like the man here alongside me, and Johnny Bunnan, Jordy Connor, Robert Bunnan, you know, Liam Flaherty, you know, all of those guys, like, sort of, and Gus Crimmins, and, you know, all of those. And there was many more as well, like, sort of, that, you know, it's too numerous to mention, like, but, you know, we have a great tradition.
Yeah,
we mightn't be going too well at the moment, and as you know, Shannon Rangers. But you know, I suppose in the world that we're living in today, with the youth that are moving away, like, from the country at the moment, that's why we're in a bit of a struggle. And every club is the same, like, sort of. But hopefully, like, that we can get it back again. Wish, you know. And I want to thank you for your words over the last couple of days, and your show next Monday night. So thank you very much on behalf of the Dowling family for
Thanks,
for helping us out. Thanks,
Wish. Okay, cheers.